From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Obama is acknowledging that Democrats have not gotten much support from Republicans, but he says there are enough votes in Congress to pass the controversial plan to overhaul the nation's health care system.
I believe that we will have enough votes to pass not just any health care bill, but a good health care bill that helps the American people, reduces costs, actually over the long term controls our deficit. I'm confident that we've got that.
Mr. Obama was interviewed on CBS's 60 Minutes. The White House is downplaying the role of a government-run option, and Senate negotiators are working on a plan for a nonprofit cooperative system. Mr. Obama said that whatever plan is passed, he wants to make sure it extends coverage to uninsured Americans and reduces the sharp rise in costs. The South Carolina House Republican who shouted, "You lie," during President Obama's address to a joint session of Congress last week, says he will not apologize to the House for that outburst. Congressman Joe Wilson's refusal to do so could lead to a formal rebuke this week from the House. NPR's David Wellna has more.
Congressman Wilson told Fox News Sunday he's making no apologies beyond the one he made to President Obama after interrupting the Wednesday evening presidential address on health care.
My view is that the apology to the president, to the White House, his acceptance, the vice president's acceptance, people know my civility. They know that this was a one-time event, and it was out of frustration. I believe in the truth. What I heard was not true.
Indeed, Wilson continued to insist the president had misstated the facts by saying illegal immigrants would not be beneficiaries of a health care overhaul. Draft legislation, in fact, explicitly bars benefits for illegal immigrants. The House is now expected to vote on a resolution of disapproval sanctioning Wilson. David Wellna, NPR News. The capital.
Belgian Kim Clijsters is the new U.S. Open women's champion. She's just beaten Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark to win the title. The men's final is set for tomorrow. A long-standing dispute between Argentina and Uruguay will go before the International Court of Justice in The Hague Monday. The dispute concerns a large pulp mill built on the river that separates the two countries. Richard Reynolds reports from Buenos Aires.
Protesters that live on the Argentine side of the Uruguay River near the town of Gualeguaychú believe the pulp mill built by Finnish company Botnia is polluting the river the two countries share. The demonstrators have been protesting for over 2 years, sometimes violently. They have kept the three bridges that connect the two countries closed for much of that time. Two are still closed. The mill was built to the latest European Union standards, and Botnia insists that it does not pollute the river. The dispute has become a flashpoint in relations between the two neighbors, which have generally enjoyed very friendly relations. Protesters say they will continue their fight no matter what the international court rules. For NPR News, I'm Richard Reynolds in Buenos Aires.
And you're listening to NPR News. There is some skepticism in Congress on both sides of the aisle about the Obama administration's policy in Afghanistan. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois was among three Democrats and a Republican on the Sunday morning talk shows who said they share concerns about boosting troop levels in Afghanistan. Durbin says sending more troops would not be the right thing to do. Instead, he wants to see Afghans more involved.
Let's get it right on the ground. Let the Afghans bring stability to their own country. Let's work with them to make that happen.
Durbin was speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. Senate Intelligence Committee Chairwoman Dianne Feinstein is also calling for a specific timeline for the withdrawal of American forces. Suicides among employees of France's largest and formerly state-owned telephone company have prompted a preliminary inquiry from the government. Frank Browning reports.
When a young woman smashed a six-story office window and leapt to her death last week in Paris, she became the 23rd France Telecom employee to commit suicide in 19 months. 70% of France Telecom's workers are still covered by civil service rules since the company was state-owned. And some have speculated that the pressure of leaving the relatively cozy, protected atmosphere of state bureaucracy for the heady competition of a private operation has raised stress levels. Labor Minister Xavier Darcos is meeting with France Telecom executives who say they have increased the number of personnel counselors. Meanwhile, the company is in merger talks with Germany's Deutsche Telekom, which, if successful, would create the world's largest mobile phone company. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.